Hello, and welcome to Not the Tech Dirt Podcast. We already had one of those this week. This is instead a short snippet of my other podcast, Control Alt Speech. And we're placing it here to encourage you to go and subscribe to that one as well, because if you listen to the Tech Dirt Podcast, I think you will very much enjoy Control Alt Speech. The discussion that you're about to hear is myself and Ben Whitelaw talking about some of Elon Musk's, I would say, more curious content moderation decisions, though you could easily argue that all of his content moderation decisions are somewhat curious. And then we have the beginning of a separate interesting discussion that we had about how various countries are trying to regulate the internet and the risks and challenges associated with that. As a reminder, Control Alt Speech is our new weekly news podcast where Ben and I are going to be talking about various stories related to the world of online speech and what is going on and what does it matter. And we'll have guests and interesting things as well. And that is different from this feed, the Tech Dirt Podcast, which will remain pretty much as being interviews by myself of other interesting people. So I encourage you to find and subscribe to Control Alt Speech. That is CTRL Alt Speech in your podcasting app of choice in order to listen to the full episode from which this snippet came from, and also to make sure that you get each new episode as soon as they are released. And the next one should be due tomorrow if you're listening to this the day that it drops on the Tech Dirt feed. But for now, here is a quick snippet from Control Alt Speech.
You had an interesting one. We were talking about it before we started on Twitter, and the shocking news that Twitter might be providing a cover for Nazis.
Well, it's not Twitter anymore, but
I can't stop it.
Yeah, so there was this crazy story this week where, you know, some people had worked out who there was a legitimately neo-Nazi cartoonist who goes by the name Stone Toss, who was publishing, you know, just absolutely awful, terrible, you know, racist, horrible cartoons. And people were trying to figure out who he was. And somebody finally figured out who he was and where he worked and published about it. And suddenly X decided to, you know, suspend or take down any post that mentioned this person's real name, which is just weird. I mean, for a wide variety of reasons. Some people will recall that, you know, when Elon took over Twitter and after promising that he would not ban the Elon Jet account, eventually did, and then for a while was suspending anyone who even mentioned the existence of Elon Jet. And then when you know, attacked on that, especially given his one promise not to suspend the account and his continual talk of like, you know, we believe in free speech, we're only going to take down stuff if it violates laws, he claimed that, like, well, you know, doxing is illegal, which in certain places it is, but not, you know, showing where the public information where your jet is, that does not violate any doxing law anywhere. And certainly, like, giving someone's real name is not that either, but it seemed like an extension of that. And so they suspended a bunch of people. It's funny that this also happened the same week that the now infamous Don Lemon interview, which is a whole other story, came out with Elon Musk, where Lemon sort of, you know, quizzes Musk on this whole like commitment to free speech and taking stuff down. And Musk goes on this rant about how he believes in just following the laws. And then, like, literally at the same time, he is setting it up so that X is removing anyone who mentions this guy's name. And there's this funny bit in all of it, which is that, you know, that sort of, you know, to justify this, they changed the privacy policy on X to include a thing that says, they just added this line, says what is in violation of this policy. It says the identity of an anonymous user, such as their name, it now violates their privacy policy. But if you scroll down on that same privacy policy where it says what is not a violation of this privacy, which existed longer than this past week, it says posting private information that is not a violation of this policy includes sharing information that we don't consider to be private, including names.
The same thing.
So, which you know, it's Schrodinger's privacy policy here, where it's both a violation and not a violation to share someone's names. And it really, you know, as always, seems to come down to what is it that Elon likes and what is it that he doesn't. And the things that he doesn't like are violations of his policy. And in this case, what he doesn't like is people exposing a neo-Nazi, which says something about Elon Musk's view of the world at this time. But also, you know, gets to some of these issues. And I had tried to highlight these right when he took over Twitter with my, you know, the speed running the content moderation learning curve, where, you know, you say these grand things like, we're only going to follow the laws, and we're going to believe in free speech, and we're not going to take anything down unless we absolutely have to. And then you discover that they're like really terrible people. And they'll do terrible things. And usually the way that works out is people figure out like, oh, well, we have to do some trust and safety. We have to do some moderation to make the platform, you know, safe and effective and to deal with these things. And here, like,
he's going the opposite way to Reddit.
He's going the opposite way, where he'll do those things, but only to protect the Nazis.
Yeah.
It's just like this bizarro world that we're living in, where he's sort of learning that you can't do the fully hands-off thing, but he's learning it in the worst possible, stupidest possible way.
Yeah. God knows who his advisors are, because it's he's not taking counsel from anybody that would listen to this podcast, certainly. And but it's almost the perfect kind of Twitter Elon Musk trust and safety story. So yeah, thanks for bringing that to us, Mike.
It's incredible. So, and then I know you wanted to talk about, there's a story that both of us saw this week that we really liked from David Kaye in Foreign Affairs. So you want to take that one?
Yeah. I mean, this is just a really, really kind of well put together long read by David Kaye, who, if you don't know him, is a University of California law professor and a raconteur for the EU, I believe, in various roles previously. He has done a lot of really good work to understand speech laws and the effects of speech. And he writes this great piece about basically the risks of internet regulation, and goes through the efforts made by the EU, the UK, and the US to craft effective speech legislation. And basically kind of concludes that, you know, there's no one doing a great job right now. The EU is the best of kind of a bad bunch in some senses. And, you know, just really flags the challenges that are going to be ahead in terms of making speech regulation work. He does kind of cast ire and throws a bit of shade at the EU, which I wondered if that was the kind of, you know, them looking, you know, him looking across the pond and being slightly jealous of the way that the EU have managed to implement the Digital Services Act in such a short space of time, I'm just saying. But, you know, he talks about Thierry Breton kind of being very forthright and creating a scene around the DSA, which, again, I think many people have said has not been the best approach, and how civil society organizations have pushed back against that, and maybe that's creating the right conditions to regulate platforms. But it's just a great piece, and I think really kind of takes a nice long view as to where we've got to really in terms of speech regulation.
So I'm going to defend David Kaye's honor. Because
please.
The fact is, right? I mean, unlike certainly some people in the U.S. who will take a very, very U.S.-centric view to everything, like, David has always had a very global view. And as you mentioned, like, he's done a lot of work with the U.N. and he was the U.N. rapporteur on freedom of expression. And so this is not just like, oh, like, you know, an American viewpoint on global internet speech. But the piece is really, really thoughtful and really highlights the challenging trade-offs to regulating the internet and how it can come at the expense of speech. And I think it does a really good job. It talks about the EU approach. It talks about the UK approach and the US approach and the different challenges, you know, between all of them.
Yeah.
And there we go. The conversation continues on past what you just heard. And we talk about a bunch of other stuff as well in the episode. So please go and subscribe to Control Alt Speech now.